A very good morning to everyone. God's peace be with you. Let us begin with a word of prayer. Dear Lord Jesus, praise and thank you for the privilege to worship you this morning. Quieten our hearts. Grant us discerning hearts and minds as we listen to you today. We pray in the name of Jesus. Amen. The first time I came to a prayer meeting as a young Christian, I didn't make it to the room. I was in the corridor, my heart pounding. I texted my friend, "I'm scared to go in." Do you sometimes feel like that? My friend replied, "Step forward, open the door." With a nudge, I went in. It was Mission Month, and there were a few missionaries from overseas. Then one young European man stood up. He said after university, he didn't know where to go. One evening, he walked into his backyard, and he looked up. It was an ordinary day, just sky, clouds, and wind. And then the clouds began to move. Slowly, one cloud, and then another. They stretched, they gathered, and they formed shapes. And across the sky, letter by letter, a word was formed. A, F, R, I, C, A. Africa, clear, unmistakable. I was captivated. And then he paused. The whole room was in silence as everyone held his breath. Moments later, he said, "I thought I needed a special sign, but God said it was already in the Bible." He opened his Bible and read, "Go and make disciples of all nations." Matthew chapter 28, verse 19, "Go and make disciples of all nations." The book of Matthew was written to show that Jesus is the promised King. He's the Messiah. He came to bring in God's kingdom. He calls people to follow him. He's calling us to become disciples, to live under his authority. And in this last chapter, chapter 28, the whole gospel leads us to the empty tomb, to the place where death was defeated. The king who was crucified now reigns. Today's topic is with Jesus on mission. Today's text leads us to the mountain in Galilee. The crucified and risen King Jesus has all authority, and he sends his disciples to make more disciples of nations with the assurance that he is with them always. I think one of the biggest fear we have when it comes to Jesus' mission is, "Jesus, I am fearful. Am I qualified? Am I qualified to do this?" Jesus answered, "My authority is over all. So don't be afraid. We are not going under our own strength. We can step out in Jesus' authority." Verses 16 to 18 read, "Now the 11 disciples went to Galilee, to the mountain to which Jesus had directed them. And when they saw him, they worshipped him, but some doubted. And Jesus came and said to them, 'All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me.'" Here is the risen Jesus. He appears to the 11 disciples in Galilee. Galilee is the place where Jesus first began his ministry. And in this place, he gave his last instructions. Those instructions were not just for the 11, they are for all of us here, the whole church. Verse 17 says, they worshipped him, but some doubted. The word doubted is not about unbelief and walking away from faith. It is more like uncertainty and hesitation. What is happening? It wasn't that some of the 11 refused to believe. Too much has happened in a very short time, and it was just hard for them to comprehend. It's like Thomas in John chapter 20. He needed a little more time to accept that Jesus was really alive. Have you ever doubted? What was going on for you then? In response to their hesitation, Jesus did not rebuke them. He spoke with them with assurance and assertion that all authority is mine. During his time on earth, Jesus already talked about his authority. But now the reason Jesus tells his disciple something even greater. He has been given authority over everything, over the created order. Well, through sufferings and obedience, Jesus was raised in glory. And now he has all authority in heaven and on earth. And this is how he starts sending his disciples out with this important claim. He sends them with his authority, and he gives them the confidence to go. After my first prayer meeting, I was very inspired. My friend and I signed up for a mission exposure trip. To be honest, I was fearful stepping into the unknown. But Jesus didn't wait for my fear to be taken away, and then he sent me. He went with me into it. Before we went, we had preparation, somewhat like the Northern Thailand mission trip and the EPGM mission trip are doing now. Briefing, get to know one another, writing testimony, preparing songs and skit. Most of it was new. And when we got there, guess what? Six of the ladies, we slept in a room on the floor, packed like sardines. We visited churches. We did street evangelism. And we were told, it's going to be fluid, even though we have prepared. We'll figure out what is next when we get there. That was not easy for me. The moment that challenged me the most was on a street walk. My friend and I, we met a Swedish lady. She was here on a holiday. As we talked, we found out that she was doing a PhD on the New Testament. Wow, the first time I met a Bible scholar. But then she told us she was a Zoroastrian. She worshipped the fire god. So we froze. She knew the Bible more than us, and we felt unqualified. But at that moment, I felt Jesus' authority carrying me. Jesus, the King with all power, was with me, and I felt very comforted. I just needed to show up to be there under his authority. In our everyday lives, there are many challenges. If you are a student, you have daily conversation with your friends, and you are on social media. Where do you feel challenged in your faith right now? How does Jesus' authority help you? If you are a working adult or a homemaker, you have a difficult decision to make. How do you remind yourself that Jesus is the final authority, not your boss, your stress, nor your culture? If you are a senior, you have many years of wisdom and stories. How can you help the younger believers to trust in Jesus? When you are doubting or afraid, remember this. We go with Jesus' authority. Jesus says, "My authority is over all." With that assurance, we know that we are under his care. But then comes another fear. It sounds like this. Lord, does it ever matter? What does your mission have to do with my life? And Jesus answered, yes, it matters. My heart is for disciples of all nations. Verses 19 to 20 reads, "Go, therefore, and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I have commanded you." This is Jesus' final instructions to his disciples. His heart is for disciples of all nations, and he commissioned his disciples to reach out to all nations. The main command here is make disciples. It is more than just sharing the gospel once. It is about walking with people, helping them grow to be followers of Jesus. That was what Jesus did. He spent time with his disciples. He taught them and he guided them as they grew. He now asked the disciples to do the same, to learn from his words and deeds and guide others. The command is make disciples. And Jesus gave us three ways to do it: going, baptizing, teaching. The heart of the commission is to make disciples, and going, baptizing, teaching describe what the process looked like. This commission is for all nations, that includes the Jews. In God's kingdom, it is not about what race or where you come from. It is about having a relationship with Jesus through our Messiah. That is why Jesus called us to go beyond our comfort zone, out into the world to reach people, so that they can hear the invitation, come, and begin their journey as a disciple in following Jesus. The disciples were told to baptize new disciples. In baptism, new disciples are welcomed into God's family, the church community. In the name of the triune God, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. At the heart of the discipleship is our commitment to the triune God, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. The last part of the commission is this. The disciples are told to do what Jesus himself did. It is not about teaching abstract ideas or just giving information. Discipleship is transformation of life. It is the process by which a disciple or a Christian change from inside out. It also looks like this. One disciple reach out to another disciple, helping him grow to be a disciple of Jesus. So how does making disciples sounds to you? Hudson Taylor is a 19th century British Protestant missionary to China. He is the founder of the China Inland Mission, and he served there for over 50 years. He was a man passionate in seeking God's will. He wrote, "The Great Commission is not an option to be considered. It is a command to be obeyed." Taylor lived this. His life reflected the live commission of Jesus. Not long after arriving in Shanghai, he realized that most of the missionaries were at the coastal region, and that those Chinese in the remote inland areas of China had not heard the gospel. Taylor was passionate about obeying the Great Commission. He wanted all China to hear the gospel. He even started his own mission agency so that more missionaries could come and reach out to the unreached inland regions. Under his leadership, the mission expanded to 18 provinces with hundreds of missionaries, over 300 stations, 125 schools, and 10,000 of converts. Through praying, giving, mobilizing, sending, and going, many were called to be part of the Great Commission. The organization he founded, now is called OMF International, continues his legacy. Taylor actually lived this. When Jesus said, "All nations," he put it into action. This is the heart Jesus is looking for in us too. What does making disciples of all nations look like for you? How may you reflect Christ right where God placed you? It may be at home, in the school, in your workplace, across the street, or across the borders. Who is God putting in your heart? That one person, that family, or that group? And how may you be faithful to his commission through praying, giving, going, sending, and sharing? Jesus says, "My authority is over all. My heart is for disciples of all nations." But there is another fear that we carry. We ask, "Will I be alone?" The task of the Great Commission is huge. If it was left to us with just our own strength, it would be daunting and overwhelming. Jesus gives a promise, "My presence go with you." This promise must have calmed the hearts of the disciples because they were given a huge responsibility. Jesus says, "And behold, I am with you always to the end of the age. Well, the Gospel of Matthew starts with baby Jesus in a manger. He's called Emmanuel, God with us. And Matthew ends with, I am with you always. From beginning to end, it is about God with us. The risen enthroned Jesus promises to be with the disciples as they carry out this assignment. And we notice that his presence is not intermittent. I will be here sometime, I will not be here sometime. It is a continual presence to the end of the age. And what does end of the age mean? It means until the completion of God's plan, until the Son of God comes again. So, Jesus begins the Great Commission with authority, and he concludes it with his presence. Jesus doesn't just give us the mission, he goes with us. Corinne Ten Boom was a Dutch watchmaker, a Christian writer, and a Holocaust rescuer. Corinne and her family had saved 800 Jews from the Holocaust. But in 1944, Corinne and her sister Betsy were arrested for shouting Jews in their home. They were thrown into Ravensbrück concentration camp. This notorious camp was built as a labor camp for women. There were diseases, overcrowding, and cruelty, and most people in that place gave up. Betsy and Corrie share a famous verse. There is no pit so deep that God's love is not deeper still. There is no pit so deep that God's love is not deeper still. This is a message of hope and assurance that God's presence and love surpasses any human suffering. During their time in the camp, Corrie and Betsy endure severe malnutrition and brutal treatment. Despite this, they continue to share their faith and their hope to their fellow prisoners. They held secret Bible studies. They prayed with other prisoners. God's presence and love sustained Corrie Ten Boom. After the war, Corrie traveled to more than 60 countries. Her message was forgiveness. What does God's presence actually look like for you? When was the last time you felt, God, you are with me, are you? Where is God asking you to go with him this week? Is it a conversation with your schoolmates, a family member or a co-worker who is struggling, or to a place that you are avoiding? If you know Jesus was walking with you, what would it be like for you? What fear is making you feel alone right now? Are you in a season of grieving, stress, or uncertainty? Remember, Jesus never leaves you alone. He goes with you. The Great Commission starts and ends with Jesus. Heaven and earth are under his authority. He says, will you come on mission with me? My authority is over all. You are not sent out by your own. I go with you. My heart is for disciples of all nations. So let us make disciples together, all nations, all people. My presence goes with you. You are not sent alone. I'm with you in the conversation. I'm with you in the walk. I'm with you in the wait. I will not leave you alone to do this. Jesus' last words give us our first priority. Go, make disciples. I am with you. Go, make disciples. I am with you. What is one goal step for you this week, knowing Jesus has the authority and he's with you? What is one goal step for you this week, knowing Jesus has the authority and he is with you? Amen.